I myself am quite tolerable. Practical. Tolerable practical magician.
Welcome to Lost Hope. My name's Bubba. I'm the man with the non-thistle down hair. And with me for this journey into a magical realm is Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
A little bit less than excited as usual.
Oh, interesting. For those of you who are new to this brand new podcast, Lost Hope.
I think everyone is new.
It's our first episode, so I believe you are new. So,
if you think you're not new to this podcast, maybe you've been using too much magic.
This podcast is all about BBC America's, and of course BBC's, new seven-part miniseries based on Susanna Clarke's novel, Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. You may have heard me, Bubba, and Catfish on some of our other podcasts. We do one based around George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire saga and the HBO show A Game of Thrones called The Joffrey Podcast. And what's interesting about that podcast is, Catfish, you read the Game of Thrones first couple books, and you just loved them.
I did. The first three. I loved the first three.
And you were telling me to go read the Game of Thrones books.
For years.
And so right before the show started, I read them. I loved them. And we loved them. And we did a podcast. And now we do a podcast. Please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Check it out. It's called The Joffrey Podcast, about HBO's Game of Thrones and Song of Ice and Fire. And so now, though, we're doing a podcast about a TV show version of Susanna Clarke's Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. And we have a different history with this big hunkin' novel, don't we, Catfish?
Well, we do. I believe we read it right around the same time.
We did. But unlike both of us loving the novel Game of Thrones, one of us loved this novel, this world, this creation, and one of us might not have been able to finish the novel.
No, I finished it.
Okay.
Part of the reason I finished it...
Yeah.
Was because you liked it so much that I felt like I had to finish the book just to prove to myself that I wasn't missing something in the last 100 pages. So I forced myself to finish reading the book. And I have very specific reasons why I'm not a fan of this book.
Okay, so we thought it would be an interesting podcast experience to approach this adaption from two book readers, one who loved it and one who didn't love it. I'll start off. My name's Bubba, listeners, and I loved this book. I loved it so much, I went out and bought Susanna Clarke's novel of short stories based around this magic and this world.
It's a novel of short stories.
Called a collection of short stories. Oh, is that the correct terminology, Kevin?
That is, yes.
Let me say there is a footnote which explains the difference between collections and short stories. But I went out.
Oh, you're already needling me.
I went out and bought her collection of short stories based around this magical world called The Ladies of Grace Adieu because I loved this first book so much. I'm going to read my review of the first book from Goodreads. And everybody, you can find me on Goodreads at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM at Fit and Trim on Goodreads. So I wrote, wow, this book is a doozy. Way too long, but you never want it to end. For the first third of the novel, you meet Mr. Norrell, an old fuddy-dud magician whose sour mood can put off most readers. The next third of the book brings in young Jonathan Strange, who would be the bright hero which a reader could cheer for, but he slowly falls victim to a terrible tragedy of his own, parentheses, and Mr. Norrell's making. Stealing thoughts from other reviews, Clark's magic is a melancholy, macabre thing. Confabulated out of snow and rain and mirrors, she can depict evil. She reaches down into fantasy's deep, dark, twisted roots. The book darkens as rapidly as the sky on a wintry English day, becoming an increasingly bleak meditation on professional envy, betrayal, revenge, madness, and despair. There is a love story with an exquisitely sad but satisfying ending. In short, this novel has a place in my long list of best novels ever written. A+. I love this novel,
wow.
Especially for a book this thick. Let me say, the final action in this, it was a page-turner. I couldn't keep turning the pages fast enough to find out what was going to happen. So obviously, that's a huge rave from me. Catfish, let's hear it. Let's hear you didn't like the novel, so let's hear it.
Well, funnily enough, I didn't know that we were going to be reading our reviews from Goodreads, but I did, in fact, review this on Goodreads as well.
Excellent. What's your Goodreads handle so people can check you out, Catfish?
Geez, I just assume it's Catfish. I don't know.
They're stuttering already, folks.
I am stuttering. Well, you
to be honest, the stuttering has begun.
You have to tell me what it is. I see you're fit and trim. I have no idea what I am. I just do it.
All right. Let's hear it.
Okay. My rating, I gave it 2 stars.
You were just...
That's pretty good.
Christopher.
Two stars.
You are Christopher on Goodreads.
Good. That should be easy to find.
Okay. So let's hear it.
Okay. A lot of exciting action in this book. At least, I assume it's exciting. It's hard to tell since the only action that happens is all described very briefly in footnotes. Otherwise, it's a slow-moving and devoid of any engaging conflict. I forced myself to finish this book because I couldn't believe a book with this much pub could be so boring. I literally remarked to myself at one point, yes, finally something interesting has happened, and I'm only on page 400 and something. And then it promptly became a snoozer again.
Ouch. So, your main problem with it is snoozing ability? Like, it wasn't thrilling.
Look, I read a lot of sci-fi. I read a lot of fantasy.
Correct.
I was an English lit major, and I used to read more literate books,
right.
But I guess the older I get, you know, you're just looking for something to take you away from the doldrums of your life.
Your life has doldrums, Catfish.
My life is, yes, it's complicated. It's very complicated.
Okay.
And so I'm a huge fan of fantasy.
Right.
Brandon Sanderson. I love Brandon Sanderson. I love sci-fi, lots of different sci-fi. So... It's not that this is not the genre for me.
Okay.
But again, it felt like, and I think this is what you liked about it. You like a lot of books kind of set in, the tone of this book intentionally is sort of written in sort of like a Victorian, right? This is not your standard fantasy that's set in what we'd imagine to be the 1400s, the 1500s, the... thousands like that.
Right, but the big thing I think what you're getting at is just kind of the prose itself. It's kind of written from this omnipotent narrator who kind of chimes in with his or her own opinions throughout it. But it's written very kind of haughty in a Victorian style. The wording and the sentence structure.
It is. It is, and I don't mind that. Mm-hmm. I liked Remains of the Day.
Okay.
It's escaping my mind right now, but another book that's a fantasy book that was written also was sort of in more elegant prose.
Right.
Was Kazuo Ishiguro's other book, the one about when people were used, they made a movie out of it. People were essentially clones of other people, and
right.
they use them for their body parts.
Oh, shoot. What is that one called?
I can't remember, but that was... But again, that was a book that was written
right.
with elegant prose,
right.
and I liked it, and I thought it was very beautiful the way that it was written. This, to me, was... And again, this is all I remember, just waiting, a lot of talking. It didn't seem to be a lot of action. And meanwhile, you'd come across these footnotes.
Right.
Very long footnotes.
Oh, yeah.
Like 20, 25, 30 lines where they describe, like... A fight or a war or something, and I thought this is it. In the footnotes, this is what I want to see. There's action here.
Okay.
And there just wasn't a lot of action in this for me. And again, I literally at one point when I was in the 400s, I was like, oh my goodness, here is something exciting.
Okay.
Finally.
Okay, well, I do not disagree that the book is very slow and there isn't much action in it for most of its running time. I would say that one thing that's interesting about the books is that kind of slowness where nothing happens reminds me a lot of another book on my list, which is not a fantasy genre at all, All the King's Men, which is about politics in Louisiana in the Depression era. But still, it was one of those things where I was entranced by the world, where I was able to keep going, and the emotional gut punch that book gives me at the end was incredible. And I kind of feel the exact same thing about this book, where I am willing to admit it is not an immediate page-turner in any sense of the way. Another thing I wonder if our listeners...
Well, that's the thing that, for you, it was like, I didn't feel it was a page-turner at all. In other words...
Oh, I did. At the very end, I get wrapped up in it.
All right. But again, it's... You know, when we talk about this in when we talk about the Game of Thrones, in that the first whenever there's a season, there's a lot of table setting in the first two episodes. And to me, this felt like a novel full of table setting, far, far too much table setting, and not enough.
Folks, we're going to give our thoughts on the books, then we're going to review the new trailer and a scene from the new series. But I wanted to ask you...
Let me say this before we go on, is that I am completely in the minority on my feelings about this book.
Oh, I don't know if that's true.
This book received rave reviews. And again, you and I both kind of rely on Goodreads.
Right.
And in fact, you have a standard that you will not... I won't read a book
unless it's at least 3.8 or higher on Goodreads, even though I've broken that occasionally. And found good books that have really tough reviews on Goodreads.
You know what's funny is that, in fact, to my surprise, you've broken it on this book. Right. This book only has 3.75, but it has almost 110,000 ratings.
I wanted to get to this, and I wanted to talk about the characters. And apologies to listeners who maybe aren't familiar with Game of Thrones that I keep referring to that a bit. But one of the things, as I mentioned, the first third of the novel really focuses on this character, Mr. Norrell, who is in some ways the Stannis Baratheon of the book. What I mean by that is Stannis Baratheon's a character...
Great sense of humor.
A character in the Game of Thrones book who doesn't have a great sense of humor, who's kind of dry, he's described as cold as a lobster and all this stuff. And so you kind of, throughout the novel, begin to warm to him. I'm not so sure you ever really warm to Mr. Norrell so much, but I wonder if some of the characters themselves are off-putting to readers. It doesn't feel like you had a problem with the characters, just the kind of stagnant way that... The drama moves.
Exactly.
Okay.
Drama, the definition of drama is conflict. So, there's disagreement.
Oh,
there's not a lot of open conflict, and open exciting conflict.
Right. I disagree that there's not conflict. I think the book is filled with conflict, and it's that conflict which I think makes it, for me, a page-turner at the end. But once again, this podcast is all about having both sides listeners. We want you to write in and tell us your thoughts on the book. You can write me on Twitter. My name's Bubba, and my Twitter handle is also at Fit and Trim. That's FitTenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Or
you can reach me, Catfish, at CJGman67 on Twitter. And Goodreads, just look for Christopher.
There can't be any other Christopher.
You'll find me.
Catfish, there have been, before we get into reviewing this trailer that they've put out, I want to say that we're releasing this episode and recording this episode now because this series is going to air in Great Britain before it ever comes to America. So all our listeners in London, and we have listeners in Sheffield and Edinburgh and all those great places in the UK, you're seeing the episode before we in America get to see it. But... So we wanted to get it out so we could have you guys write in.
That's unfair.
It is.
But then again, we have better food.
Amen to McDonald's. All right. But Catfish, before we get to this trailer, and I know I keep putting it off slightly, I want to say
you're teasing.
Is that, have there been books that you haven't liked that have made good movies? I think everybody, all our listeners, would say, ooh, there's been books that they've loved that have become kind of terrible movies. One of my favorite books of all time, The Bonfire of the Vanities, became a terrible movie. So have there been books that you haven't liked that have become good TV shows, good movies that you have liked?
Well, you have put me on the spot here because I feel like I cannot remember. I can't remember if there's any movies, any books that I read and finished reading, but was still dissatisfied by, and then I saw something else that I liked.
One thing I would say, and this isn't, it doesn't answer my own question very well, but one thing
Well, I didn't answer it very well either.
No, you didn't. Everybody write in and tell them you didn't. But I read The Hunt for Red October. I thought it was a pretty good book, but one of the things, I thought the movie improved upon it, and one of the ways the movie improved upon the book, in my opinion, is it combined kind of two action beats into one. The condensing actually made it more thrilling all at once, certainly at the end when they're combining kind of... things that happened at different chronological times in the novel suddenly got compressed into kind of one final thing. And I thought that improved it. So I have had that type of experience. I'm not sure myself if I've disliked a novel and then been able to watch the movie and say, oh, that was an okay movie.
Well,
Did you like the Lord of the Rings novels? Because those movies were pretty good. I didn't actually ever read the Lord of the Rings.
I did, and I read them when I was very young and had no... interest in reading them again.
Okay.
Really. I'm trying to remember. I did read, did you ever read the Mervyn Peake's Gormenghast trilogy?
No.
It's a very, it's sort of a fantasy, and okay. yet it's compared to Jonathan Strange, it moves slow.
It's oh, no. Very, for you, that's got to be tough.
It's written, the prose is beautiful. Okay. Not very much happens. It's kind of dreamlike in a way. There's right. not very many characters, and it's more the interior of this guy. And I think they did a better job when, I believe it was the BBC as well, did a mini series with it. And I remember that well. But I mean, I did enjoy those books. That was when I was into more literary books, and those were actually very literary. But gosh, no, that's a good puzzler. But maybe someone could tweet at us.
Yeah.
If they listen. And yeah. are there any experiences you've had where you write a book and you're like, oh, this is no good? Yeah. And
yeah, write us, hit us up on Twitter, and or write in the comments right. section of give us a review on iTunes of this podcast and let us know. This show, we want it to be a discussion between us and you as we hopefully enjoy this wonderful BBC miniseries.
Right, and what's great is, if whether you like it or hate it, there's always someone you can listen to and agree with. Now, speaking of books
right.
turned into movies,
sure.
the book that we were talking, that I was trying to refer to before, was called Never Let Me Go,
right.
which I loved, and I did actually did not see the movie.
Oh, okay.
I was so affected by that book and thought it was so beautiful that I just didn't want to kind of ruin that.
Right. Okay. Folks, we have rambled on long enough. We're going to now play for you the trailer for the new 7-part miniseries based on Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. And then we'll be right back with our initial thoughts.
You wish to know why is there no more magic done in England?
I myself am quite a tolerable, practical magician.
Mr. Norrell!
There was a man under a hedge who told me I was a magician.
Buy these two spells for me, sir. They'll get you started.
I am Strange.
Indeed.
I hope with all my heart to live as your friend and assistant.
What do you mean by summoning me here?
What was the magic?
So tell me!
I know why!
Opened a door to hell and invited the devil into England!
It was work to destroy him. But he destroys us.
Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell begin Saturday, June 13th at 10.
All right, Catfish, we just watched the trailer for BBC's adaptation of Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. Initial thoughts?
Well, when I watched it, I found it interesting that the music kicks in very early and is very loud and is very fast to try and get you excited about stuff that's actually not very exciting if you took the music away from it.
Oh, you don't?
Now, I would say about 2/3 away in,
right.
then there is actually some exciting, interesting stuff. But as I was watching it, the first thing I thought is, wow, this music is very loud. And very fast, because they're trying to make you think like, oh, it's exciting. But if you just pay attention to the stuff underneath, just like the book, snoozorama.
Okay, wow. So how about this, Catfish? I, once again, like the trailer. I thought it was good. I will say something maybe that we can agree on is it looks like they spent some money on this thing. This is not a cheap production. This is not a sci-fi original series.
No, and could you please refer to it as a stiffy?
All right. This is not Helix, folks.
Oh! Thankful.
No, it looks like wonderful production design. I have to say, the actor Eddie Marsden, who I believe that's how you pronounce his name, who's been cast as Mr. Norrell, kind of is a physical representation of what I thought the character was. He looks like a stick-in-the-mud fuddy-dud. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
The one character who is not matching my imagination for what he is of course probably the most important character in the whole piece, and that is a character called the Man with Thistledown Hair, in that he is certainly one of the main magical components in the book. I don't want to spoil anything for maybe people who are just listening along and haven't read and haven't seen the show yet, but he's kind of has a white pompadour and kind of looks very like a French nobleman in a play about Marie Antoinette, which isn't how I imagine the character. And dare I say it, not as creepy and sinister looking as I imagine, but otherwise...
Well, I'm going to say he looks pretty creepy and sinister to me.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you take one look at him, and he's not the kind of person you want to walk down a dark alley with.
Well, no, but probably for reasons because he looks like a French character in a play about Marie Antoinette is my reason. You know, I don't tend to go down dark alleys with people like that. So there's some hints at magic. You see crows flying. Crows always help when magic needs to be around, as well as what looks like, once again, a money shot where you see the character Bertie Carvel, I hope I'm pronouncing that, who plays Jonathan Strange. He sticks his hand in the sand and suddenly sand horses erupt from the beach. Now, he would be, he'd be great to go to the beach with, wouldn't he, Catfish?
Well, I don't know because...
You don't know?
Yeah, no, I think it would be horrible to go to the beach with him unless you had like really good eye protection. All that sand swirling around, that's like instant dermabrasion.
Okay, Anakin Skywalker doesn't like sand. I think he'd be great to go with. It'd be a lot of fun. Catfish, I'm going to take it that particular trailer did not enthuse you towards the miniseries any more than you were.
I would say the last third of it, there were some things going on. My concern would be just that it's going to be a slow burn. They've got 7 episodes.
Right.
So, you know, how much setup, how boring is it going to be until they actually get cracking with things?
Well, we shall have to see.
I mean, as someone who liked the books.
Right.
As someone who liked the book.
Right.
You admit that the drama that had you interested was not action, but it was more conflict,
right?
Kind of an internal conflict.
Exactly.
Now, when you read the book, did you ever think this would be a good series or TV show? I mean, what was your feeling about that? Obviously, I thought it would be good for people who have a hard time getting to sleep. But
Catfish,
for you,
how could you? Yeah.
For you, did you think this can be filmed in a way that will make it exciting, or will it be more
stodgy? When I read the books, it had been optioned as a possible feature film, but it hadn't moved forward at all.
Okay.
But when I read most books, I tend to think how they could be adapted.
Okay.
All our listeners, we're out here in Los Angeles. If you look us up on IMDb, you'll see all Catfish's wonderful acting credits, and you'll see my one screenplay credit, which got turned into a terrible movie, so I won't tell you to look me up on IMDb. But I read this book, and where it goes to is it goes to something, once again, a period piece, but it goes to something like Amadeus, that great movie from the 80s, where there was a character kind of sniping at another character. And it wasn't action-packed. Dear Lord, it's about Amadeus, for goodness sakes.
Right.
And it probably, if we watch the Amadeus trailer right now, that's probably got some real fast music because he's hitting those keys. Da, da, da. But I think it could be turned into one. It's just one of the things I thought, and I'll be honest about this, is if you watch a lot of movies nowadays, I want to call it the Nolan effect, but this doesn't really go to director Christopher Nolan. But one of the things Nolan always does, and I think back to his first movie in the Batman saga, Batman Begins, is how there were all these time jumps, and there were time jumps so that you could get some action in sooner. You know, you could jump in to kind of like the middle part of Bruce Wayne's story before you got to his Batman story, because he was kind of jumping back and forth. And one of the things I thought with an adaptation of this particular novel that you might have to do is you might have to have scenes right in the first couple of episodes, or if it was going to be a movie, the scenes at the beginning kind of showing kind of that action and kind of real magic that really doesn't become apparent in the books until, as you are fond of saying, hundreds of pages in.
Well, now, what if they actually showed some of the exciting stuff that's only in the footnotes? Would you like that?
Only if it was like a DVD chapter. That's the only way they could do it.
If anyone has this book at home,
right,
and remembers reading it,
correct,
or even if you didn't read it, if you have it at home and you thought you tried or you didn't have time or whatever, I challenge you.
This is a challenge, people.
To just flip through the book, right, and whenever you get to a footnote, look drink. At it, read it.
you'll be in,
read it and yeah. and say to yourself and answer this question.
Sure.
Does that sound really interesting? Is that something you'd like to see fleshed out? And then, if you did read the book, compare that to what you actually read.
I would say Catfish's attention span of a 5-year-old Cocker Spaniel is the reason why he couldn't get it. I would say there is a lot of tension. There is a lot of kind of internal conflict, which is going to be tough, let's be honest, to translate to the screen.
Well, that's why internal I asked you troubles. How you thought.
It's going to be difficult. But, hey, we don't even have to kind of assume anymore. The BBC has released a scene. Admittedly, it's one of these beginning scenes from the novel.
Great. I can't wait for them to lay it all out for us.
So right now, folks, we're going to play for you a scene from the very first episode of the BBC's adaptation of Susanna Clarke's Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. Now, and then we'll be back with our initial impressions on that.
It's legally, do you have to say the full title and Susanna Clarke's name every time you mention it?
I'm hoping, to be honest, the reason why I keep mentioning BBC, Susanna Clarke, Jonathan Strange, and Mr. Norrell is I want some goodies. I want them to mail us some stuff so that when this series airs here in, I believe, late June of 2015...
Yes,
We'll be able to give it out to you, our listeners, when this podcast starts up as a weekly.
Well, they're not
going to
send me anything except for maybe some ashes.
Right. They may send the man with thistle down hair to you, Catfish, with all your tough reviews. So now let's play.
Well, I'm not walking down any alleys with them.
Right.
I already made that perfectly clear.
All right. So now let's play you this scene from the first episode of the BBC's adaptation of Susanna Clarke's Jonathan Strange and Mr.
Norrell.
Mr. Norrell.
Come in. Watch your step, gentlemen. The way is convoluted.
I read your account of the careers of Martin Pale's fairy servants. It's a creditable piece of work. Well, there was Master Fallowthorpe, was there not? You left him out. In the minor spirit, but nevertheless.
Fallowthorpe? I've never even heard of him. Forgive me, sir, but what a library.
Yes, I forget. Of course, he is described in Hogarth and Pickle's histories of their own dealings with Master Fallowthorpe, which you can scarcely have read.
Well, you have that book.
May we be permitted to?
Nothing would be more agreeable to me.
To put questions to the dark and understand its answers.
It's a foolish work.
This is Bellasis's instructions. Every copy of this was destroyed centuries ago.
I did devote a great deal of time to Bellasis in my youth, but no longer. He is mystical when he should be clear, and clear when he should be mystical.
These are all books of magic.
Mr. Norrell, such. Surely you will find your answer here.
Answer?
To a simple question, sir. In the past, magic was done as a matter of course. It was as much a part of this country as the rain.
Then 300 years ago, it died, seemingly overnight.
We wish to know why magic has fallen from its once great state. We wish to know, why is there no more magic done in England?
It is a wrong question, sir. Magic is not ended in England. I myself am quite a tolerable, practical magician.
And we are back. And Catfish, I'm going to say it right now.
Yes.
What are your initial impressions of that scene?
Well, clearly it's very early.
Yeah, in I the would show. Imagine this happens in the first 10 minutes of the very first episode.
Yeah. I mean, it just sets up the characters. I mean, he's very stodgy. Mr. Norrell, he's like, go ahead and look at my books. And each book they take, he takes it away from him, puts it back. He's kind of like the grumpy librarian.
No wonder I like him so much.
That's probably true. He does seem to have a permanent storm cloud over his head. Really, just thrilling to watch. No,
Mr. Norrell's first name and middle name are Charles Brown.
Well, he clearly, right. You know, again, this is quite following the tone of the book.
Oh, yeah. I would say that scene is almost ripped verbatim from one of the early chapters in the book.
I don't mean just the dialogue, but right. Again, this is sort of set up in a very, you know, this is like a book about a book of manners about magicians, and that's what they're clearly doing here. It's a very slow setup. So maybe this is, you know, maybe this is a fantasy for your grandma.
My grandma's dead.
Oh, wow.
You fucking asshole.
Well, then she's going to enjoy it as much as I am.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay. So
what are your feelings on it, Bubba?
Well, because I love the book so much, Catfish, and it's sticking so close, I am enraptured. I think it's a bit heightened, I would say, some of these characters who are coming in. Mr. Segundus, I believe, is one of the characters' names. He's a bit heightened from how I read him, but that kind of plays.
Yes, because we can't have everybody be so droll and with a sort of dull affect the way we have with Mr. Norrell.
Okay, fair enough. So, long story short, Catfish, your impressions. What is going to be your kind of mood going into this 7-part? Podcast experiment.
Well, I am going to. You know, it's been a while since I read the book.
Okay.
A long while. Read it right when it first came out. As you know, I read a lot of books, and my retention is not so great sometimes. So I don't recall all the two or three actual interesting things that happened in this book. So I'm going to sit back.
Okay.
I'm going to try to remind myself that. You know, that this is going to be a very slow and... Possibly.
It's going to speed it up on the TV show.
Yeah, well, they do have seven episodes. That does seem quite a lot.
Not if they include all the footnotes.
Not if they... They should do a movie for every footnote. You know, I'm cautiously optimistic.
And I am cautiously super excited. I think there's a chance that this could be great. There's a chance.
Cautiously super excited.
Right.
Wow. Why don't you just be, following Mr. Norrell's lead, why don't you just be deadpan excited?
Sure thing. Okay. So, anyway, listeners, this is our precast to the 7-part miniseries of BBC's Susanna Clarke's Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell adaptation. So
I was worried you weren't going to say it all that time.
I'm going to say it every time. Maybe I could get them to give us some goodies. BBC America,
let me ask a question. What kind of goodies would you like?
I would love BBC America. Get us some posters. Get us some gifts. Get us anything we can give away to our double L's.
Double L's?
Our loyal listeners.
Yes. Well, then let's just say this. Let's be right up front about this.
Okay.
If BBC America doesn't come through, we will come through with something for
we
you guys.
We will come through with something. When you're here in Lost Hope, there's magic everywhere, as long as you believe. So... this is our, once again, our pre-podcast for pre-season podcast. Please write us on Twitter and let us know your thoughts. You know, if there's something you want us to discuss in the podcast, let us know. Also, let us know your thoughts looking forward to the series, or if you're one of our great friends over in the United Kingdom. You know, don't spoil it for us, but let's hear your wonderful thoughts on the series as a whole. Once again, you can reach us. You can reach me, Bubba. On Twitter, at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Or,
and you can reach me, Catfish, at CJGman67.
That's my 67th favorite CJGman in the world. Anyway, you can be sure to download, subscribe on iTunes, give us reviews, and tell us how we can make the show even better for you. And you'll hear us next time on Lost Hope.
I've done everything you want in the way of... I hardly play cards. I drink very, very little, scarcely more than a bottle a day. And I've no objection to going to church more often, twice a week if you'd like it better.
I leave such matters to your own conscience.
I do not know. Perhaps you don't like my going to Bath or Brighton or... But really, the ladies there, you have nothing to fear from them. They are without doubt very charming, but...
That hadn't even occurred to me.
Oh. Arabella.
Jonathan, I only wish that you would find a way to occupy your time. No one loves a holiday better than I, but perpetual holidays. Does it make you happy?
You make me happy.
A man needs an occupation, Jonathan.
Arabella, you know perfectly well that my father...
I'm going away.
What?
With Henry to his new parish, help him settle.
Oh. I'd not thought to do this now, but I see I must act.
Jonathan, do not act. Think. And they'll be gone forever.